the trick for me was things like C Sharp or something. I've got to learn how to edit the how to create the project and edit the resource file.
Line, cool, tech,
fun. I wanted to play with the podcast stuff, okay.
Technology,
cool, is anybody there?
And blind here.
Ah, God, who put that wall there?
And all comes together.
Because that was really the trick to Visual Studio, was learning how to resource files put together and learn how to edit it by hand.
Yeah, because C Sharp's a little bit different. It's actually just in the code, and they just hide it from you, I think. So, to lay out everything, you just put it right into the C Sharp code. But when you do it visually, it puts it in there. It just hides that code from you because, you know, it's just basically just, you know, just positioning it.
Yeah, all the .NET languages do that, don't they? Where you can, like, tuck away parts of it that you don't need to see.
I think so, but I've only used C Sharp and .NET. Everything else I did. C++ support I did was in, 6.0.
Well, I know in...
But C++, when you do, like, when I was doing that, it would have resource files that would have, like, the layout and everything. This is actually in the C-sharp code.
Yeah.
To create everything.
Yeah, and that's the way it is in VB.net, too. You can you can either see all that stuff or hide it.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat.
So, you know, instead of doing it visually, you just have to add that code where you go, you know, create button, disposition, this name or whatever.
You know, I keep maintaining, though, that the layout, the user interface layout part of writing a program is a very insignificant portion of the overall project. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Depends.
What do you mean by insignificant?
You know, especially for visual people, it can be important in that it's you want to make it easy to use.
Oh, absolutely.
So... You know, it's an easy part, but, you know, it can be an important part.
Yeah.
It depends on what you're doing, too. But,
yeah.
You know, especially if you look at something like Office, you know, it's very important that, you know, you have a complex program that you have easy to buttons that are laid out that are easy to use and, you know, in positions that make sense. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, so take the overall Office project itself, though, and... There's a lot more programming going on there than visual layout.
It could take a while to do.
Yeah.
Because I know in the CAD program I wrote, I did spend a lot of time in, you know, interface stuff. But it was because I was, you know, trying to do custom stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a good library, I think it would be a lot easier. But, you know, I had to do things like save menu bar positioning and, you know, bring up custom bars and stuff. I mean, I think a lot of that stuff might be better integrated now, but
yeah,
you know, but if you're just doing a simple project, it's not very much. You know, I could do a simple project with a toolbar and menu and, you know, all that stuff would take 5 minutes.
Well, creating things like buttons and menus and command handlers, all that stuff is really easy.
Yeah. It's just if you're doing custom stuff, you know, with complex programs, but if you're doing a simple program, it's pretty easy.
That's a good point, depending on what your program is. I mean, yeah, I could see a CAD application or like this wave view in a sound editor or even like a 3D first-person type game. That, you know, that would require a lot of detail.
Well, and that's not so much user interface as, you know, the graphics engine.
Yeah,
which is
that's true.
Because, you know, they do have user interfaces. And those probably aren't as complex as, you know, the graphics engine to, you know, draw all the different objects in the graphics engine.
So let's back up here and introduce this topic and who's talking. We're answering a question from a guy that sent me an email wondering about how to program the user interface, the visual elements in the modern programming languages, and apparently he hadn't done any programming for a while, I mean in this kind of environment. And joining me here is Keith Creasy and Michael McDonald, two of our programmers here, and we're just throwing these issues around. And you know, one of the things I wanted to toss into this for a good way for somebody to get started with this in an easy way, I think, is with an HTA, a hypertext application. So you can use VBScript or JavaScript and get a lot of user interface elements without having to worry so much about compiling. And
There's also options like PHP where you mm-hmm. can do a lot of, and you can just go to some place like GoDaddy and get a Linux PHP account and you can start right away. Or ASP also, which is just the Microsoft version of PHP.
So PHP has got visual interface controls like tree views and stuff like that that you can use to create on the server side.
Tree views and stuff, but if you want to use something like simple HTML forms, so they're not as complex, but so people can use enter data and stuff.
Now ASP does have those complex controls like tree views and
I think you can do all kinds of stuff like that, but I don't have much I haven't used ASP very much.
I haven't either. And these two, for anyone that's listening, PHP and ASP run on a server instead of on your local machine. So there's some advantages and some considerations to take in that kind of programming as well. We've been talking a lot about that here lately, in fact, trying to come up with the perfect environment for a podcast where people can submit stuff. Sort of like just a bulletin board. But anyway, Keith was saying that you're pretty much using Visual Studio 6. And
The user interface part of it is really pretty easy to get going with. Because actually this exists in .NET as well. There's a wizard that basically creates the skeleton of your user interface for you, and then you begin to add menus and menu items and controls in the windows. And it's pretty simple to to add the controls in. They're common Windows controls, Microsoft controls, so you really don't have to write the controls. You basically just add them to your project and place them where they need to be.
And they're automatically accessible if you use them.
Screen readers know what to do with them. And for the most part, to me, that's probably, really, I think that's easier than HTA or PHP or any of the other things for just creating an application that's going to run on a PC. Now, if you're talking about networking and internet access, then that's a whole other facet to it. And maybe in those cases, it's easier to do something with PHP or Java or ASP. .NET, of course, has a lot of networking features.
Okay, Keith is a totally blind programmer. What things do you use to help you with the screen layout? I mean, I know you can put these controls up there, but what about senses of proportion and the aesthetic parts of it? Do you get sighted help, or do you have tools you use that...
Well, usually the way I approach it is, I begin by just conceptualizing it mentally and roughing things in more or less. And of course, in the past, I have used sighted assistants to come in and have people look at my dialogues, look at everything to make sure that things were the right size and where they needed to be. The last year or so, I've had the advantage of being able to use a display, which is actually a tactile display, something like 200 or 300 pixels in dimensions, and it actually lets me tactually look at what's on the screen and be able to see the size of the dialogues and how the text is laid out. And it's got a fine enough resolution that you can actually read the text on the screen. And you can change the zoom and size so that if you want to zoom it out, you can get more of a general layout, or you can zoom it in at the point that you can pick up the actual letters.
And that's been adequate enough for you to do fine detail on dialogue layouts and.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, it's on a complicated screen, it can take a little while to kind of get my bearings and figure out what everything is, because you don't get any colors or shading with it. But I found it to be really helpful. Of course, ultimately, I still rely on somebody visually to check it out and make sure that things look the way they need to look, because it's too easy to miss things even with the tactile display and certainly with the screen reader. So
what's the details on that tactile display?
It's made by a company in Japan, and I'm trying to think, I can't even think of the name of the company. It's called DotView, D-O-T-V-I-E-W. And the company is a company that actually makes electronic solenoids, tiny electronic solenoids. And this particular product is not really, I think, a big part of their business. It's just something somebody did, you know, as a smaller project, more of an experiment than anything else. Because of all the mechanical parts, it's basically a box that's maybe 10 by 10 square and about 4 inches high that sits on the desk, and it's got buttons on the front. It's got a joystick on the front that lets you scroll around on the screen, because the display is not big enough to show the entire video screen at one time. And it has buttons along the sides that do the same things. It has a button that zooms in and out.
And we are talking about $14,000 worth
expensive.
Of equipment.
Yeah, it's
here.
Not something you just want to pick up as an impulse item. You know, in fact, I really was surprised that I was fortunate enough to get it. It's been wonderful, but it's a fairly large investment.
Yeah, let's get a gallon of ice cream and a tactile display.
And a carton of milk, yeah. So, you know, no, it's not something everybody is going to be able to afford or use, but it does, I think, demonstrate, you know, what the possibilities might be, and maybe in the future something like that can be developed that's not quite so expensive. It'd be great to have one that could display graphics and braille and everything else all in one device that was affordable, but right now that we're not quite to that point yet.
And Mike, you've been working here at APH about a year now, right? And Mike is a sighted programmer, so you're learning about the accessibility from sort of the outside in, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any comments you can make about that from that perspective?
Well, it's just, you know, what I try to do always is make something I like, so I sort of have to think, you know, if I just kind of screen, and that's easy enough. You just turn it off to try to see how it works then.
Yeah.
I've mostly been working with Linux and SpeakUp. So, you know, I'm trying to SpeakUp only runs in the console, which is somewhat different than the windowing environment that, you know, most people are used to. So I'm trying to, you know, copy that, but then also make it accessible so that, you know, I'll turn off my screen and see, can I get around, and, you know, how easy. And, you know, a lot of times I get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is a real challenge to try to make sure that, you know, you always know where you are and are able to easily move around in whatever environment you're in.
It is a challenge. The other day you had mentioned to me, I thought it was kind of an interesting comment, that in your previous job, you really didn't even know about accessibility, right?
You know, you just don't think about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I think that's probably a lot of the projects out there, because, you know, your project is, you know, you're thinking of sighted people, and it's not that I maybe didn't ever think that blind people use computers, but, you know, you just don't think of it when you're developing an application.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something that, you know, in the background, because, you know, all or most of your users are going to be sighted.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just something you don't consider. But, you know, there is a lot of things that need to be done to make a good accessible application. Now, Windows makes it fairly easy, but, you know, sometimes, like right now, I'm working with a application and they use custom controls. So that custom control doesn't have the accessibility built into it. So therefore, you know, the application is usable, but it's a lot harder than something that uses normal Windows controls to be used. Like the menus just are very hard to use with a screen reader.
Yeah, it's a shame too, because you were just talking about what a nice control it was for a developer, and you know, any developer that uses that control, they've just automatically made their program not accessible. But in fact, I was going to have a podcast here pretty soon to kind of explain what you've been doing with this RSS Bandit and the feeds, because this has been a topic that has been on my mind for a long, long time. And that is the ability to grab the contents of feeds without having to have all the junk from a newsreader and then, you know, sending that material over to the book port. So you want to tell people about that, Mike? I mean, we're going to be ready to beta test this here. And
basically, I just found a open source off-the-shelf app called RSS Bandit, and basically just a feed reader. But, you know, basically it's just going to take the feeds and display them in a list, and then you can go through the feeds and it'll open up a browser window and a tab so you can, you know, view it. But what we were looking for is something to download to a text file so we could view it on the book port. But this app, you could maybe get a feed list, but you know, the feed descriptions are often, you know, two or three lines, and you know, they don't have the content of the page that's what you actually want to look at. So basically, this will take those feeds, any feed that you have subscribed to, and it'll download it to a text file. And then what it'll do is, when you have a feed, it has a link to the page that has the actual content for the story. So it'll follow that link, and then it'll take and strip out all the HTML. And there's also some filters in there to strip out the beginning and ending content by looking for certain keywords that are on a web page. For example, you know, you might have a menu on the web page at the very beginning every time, so it looks for the last item in that menu and then strips out everything before that. So you're just left with, hopefully, the text of the story, and then it'll just take all those stories from one feed and put them into one text file. So, you know, you might go to CNN, and then it'll have every article from that day from CNN. So you can quickly go through on your book board, or, you know, even on just go open a text file on your computer and quickly go through all the stories that you're interested in from CNN or Wired or, you know, whatever internet site you would be interested in. And almost any site today has an RSS feed, so you should be able to get any about any internet news you'd be interested in.
Yeah, this is actually, we were working on Spider, which is, that in itself is a discussion about visual interfaces too. But Spider was designed to, you know, go through a web page and grab the content. But, you know, as Mike points out, every site now has an RSS feed. So this is really probably a much more direct approach. So, for those of you that are on the Bookport beta list, we'll be, you might as well go ahead and start downloading RSS Bandit now. Just do a Google for RSS Bandit, or is there, do you happen to know the URL?
I believe it's rssbandit.org.
That sounds right. Go ahead and install that, and we'll be distributing this DLL that's a plug-in that, man, I honestly have already fallen in love with this thing, because, you know, basically it does what we wanted. It sits in the background, gathers up all this new material, and then sends it over to your book port. I don't know why my computer is... What we've done is had it go into the pending folder on the book port, so you just connect it. What's it doing?
I was just checking that URL.
And, yeah, it's a shame that this control... One of the things Mike and I are going to try to do today is get in touch with Sandbar, I believe is the name of this company that makes this control, and look and see if they've got any kind of solutions. Mike found what was it, a question that somebody had already asked if it worked with the screen?
Someone stated that there was a blind user that was having issues with the menu bar, and that's what they said, is that accessibility wasn't currently in the application or the control.
It's a mystery to me why people bother to not use the Windows standard menus.
Well, this is...
I mean, they even go to the trouble at times to write custom menus that look like the Windows standard menus.
It's because some of the functionality isn't in there that, you know, if you want to have a menu just like Office 2003 or Visual Studio, some of the functionality that's in there, things like, you know, being able to hide... bars on the side or hide menus, things like that, aren't in the standard controls. So, for example, this suite of applications, they have like, you know, menu bar and toolbars and stuff. They give that extra functionality to you.
And, you know, it may be that that company may be perfectly willing to work with someone. Yeah, I don't think it would be that hard to make those controls accessible.
Probably not. It's just that, like Mike said earlier, people out there in the, I guess, real world just don't think about it.
Well, no, they don't. But, you know, if you're writing a control for other developers, you really do need to think about that.
I agree. You do need to. People just don't.
Yeah.
Well, and it looked like something they were going to address in the future. I just don't think it had been brought up until someone came and said,
yeah,
this doesn't work with. Yeah. And how do you know also? Because there's no real easy way to tell until you use it with a screen reader, but most developers out there, they don't have JAWS or Window Eyes or anything.
Well, they can actually use Narrator, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know that.
Yeah. Well, I never knew how to even tell if an application was accessible.
Yeah, I know, and that's the big problem. Microsoft says, and they are doing more on MSDN, which is Microsoft Developer Network, to promote accessibility, and I'm really interested to check out what's going on in Vista with the UI automation being tied to the accessibility, which means that people will be able to test their software by using this automation, and that supposedly will make it accessible. And you know, actually, I mean, UI automation is something that we as a development house have been wanting for years anyway. So it's an interesting approach to combine the accessibility with that.
Yep.
Well, anything else we can tell this guy about visual? I guess one thing that I would say, if you hadn't been in the programming loop for many, many years, programs aren't like they used to be. I mean, they're much more, everything is much more event and object driven now.
Right. Yeah, and that was something I had to get used to, moving from the DOS command line environment over to the Windows environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other little comment, too, and this is kind of how I got started, being able to develop some of the visual interface components. You know, initially, there really isn't a lot of good documentation about how to edit and work with these resources like dialogues and list boxes and combo boxes and stuff. You know, manually, all the instructions are geared toward using the visual interface to add and manipulate those items. So one thing that I did, which was really helpful, is I would get, at the time it was my son who was like 12, 13 years old, and now he's a programmer, I guess, because he spent so much time helping me. But I would have him use the visual interface to add a component. Then I would go in and look into the resource file to see what got added.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the way that I learned, for instance, if I wanted a combo box in my application, and maybe I didn't know how to write that code into the resource file to create the combo box, I would get him to come in, create it using the visual interface. Then I could open the resource file to see what Developer Studio had put in there, and then from then on I knew how to add those to the resource file.
Now, do you add them that way by hand to the resource file now, or do you actually go into the visual editor?
Let's see, for combo, well, it depends on what the control is, but some of them I can add from the resource editor, and then I just go into the resource file to get them sized and positioned the way I want them. There's a few that I actually still do add by hand. some of the less used. Let's see, I'm trying to think of one of the ones that I had to do by hand. And I can't think now what it is exactly. I think, for instance, like the rich text control is one that I had to go in and add by hand. And also, if you want to add, like, for instance, you can add an Internet Explorer browser control to a dialog. And that's one I had to add by hand. So, you know, and I think for that one, what I did is I actually downloaded a sample application, looked at its resource file to see how it had been added.
Yeah.
And then, for instance, if you want to create, like, a custom file dialog, you can add a file dialog, but then if you want to customize it, there are certain codes you can put in the resource file that let you do that. So there's just some little tricks and things that you can learn if you let somebody do it visually and look at the resource file to see what happened. And make whatever changes need to be made.
Alrighty. I guess we'll call that the discussion then. I'm sure there's a lot more we could talk about, but if anyone does have questions, call into the comment line or drop us an email, and one of us will. I mean, I always encourage people to go into programming that are blind, because it's I think you can be very competitive in that field.
But it's not for the faint of heart.
No, you have to be a problem solver. You really have to follow a problem all the way through. In fact, have you ever read the book Zen, The Art of Motorcycle Maintenance? I think that book was written about programming. Because you have to look at a problem every way. Well, thank you very much, fellows.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.